You're listening to the All Day Rock Off podcast, episode number 97. Welcome to the All Day Rock Off podcast, episode number 97. This is your host, Brian, and I wanted to thank you so much for tuning in. The All Day Rock Off podcast focuses on the GRT and rucking community and includes interviews, motivation, and advice to keep you informed and get you ready for your next event. In this episode, we have an interview with Richard Rush, where we focus on the GORUCK Star Course 12 event. Richard completed the GORUCK Star Course 50, the inaugural event in DC 2018, and he also completed the Star Course 50 in Cincinnati back in 2018 as well. In 2019, he took on the Star Course 12 with his family, and they even brought the dog along. So it's really fun to talk to him about how he tackled those first two 50s and then switched it up and did the 12 with his family. He's got some awesome perspectives on the events. He talks about his feelings about them when they were first announced. And one thing I really appreciate is that he comes at it from an endurance background. So Richard has run 50-mile races, 100-mile races. He's done a ton of endurance events. And so a 50-mile ruck to him is maybe not as big of a deal as the 50-mile ruck was to me in terms of total mileage. So it's really fun to get his perspective on the Star Course events, especially because he has done a handful of longer races, including some full Ironman triathlons as well. Some quick announcements. All Day Ruck Off store. We've got restock on handles, restock on source bladders, restock on mechanics gloves. We sold out of those really quick. So if you're in the market for those, they're back. If you're taking part in the April GORUCK Rucking Challenge, we're over halfway through the month. So hopefully you're getting your workouts in. 7 workouts in the month of April, get a free patch. And the final announcement I really want to touch on, Cadre Rooney fundraiser gear is still available at GORUCK. So you can head on over there, pick something up, support his kids, and either get the Cadre Rooney patch or the Cadre Rooney shirt, or get both. Thank you to everyone who hit me up on Twitter, hit me up on Instagram, send an email about my son having his open heart surgery. Everything's still going good with him. I really appreciate all the awesome comments, and thank you so much for all the support there. With all that said, I hope you're having a great week so far, and here's the interview with Richard Rush. Today, I'm talking with Richard. I'm really excited about this call because we'll be talking about the GORUCK Star Course 12 miler. Richard completed the 50 miler in DC. He completed a 50 miler in Cincy. And just recently in 2019, he completed a 12 miler. I was excited personally when GORUCK brought the 12 mile and the 26.2 into the Star Course. I thought it would bring in a lot of fresh people who might have been turned off by a 50 miler. And so I'm really excited to talk to Richard today, get his thoughts on those events, the announcements of them, and everything about that. Richard, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks again for taking the time. I truly appreciate this.
It's my pleasure, I assure you.
We talked a little bit before this. The 50 miler in DC was not your first GORUCK event.
Yeah, my first event was in Louisville. It was a GORUCK Tough back in 2016. I remember it was so cold. I want to say it was in April. It was like early April, but the weather around here in Louisville, like, you know, in April you could get 80, you could get snow. You just don't know what you're going to get. And it was like, my recollection was the wind chill that night was like in the teens. It was pretty nasty.
That's a rough first event.
But the great part was, because of how cold it was, we didn't get thrown in the water anywhere. So like, it was kind of a plus.
It's a great way of looking at it.
Yeah.
So your first event, really cold. I take it you completed the event. When you finished it, did you want to do another one, or are you thinking, man, I'm done with that stuff?
No, you know, it's like any endurance event. Like I got into endurance athletics back in 2014. I did my first Ironman, and you know, at the end, you know, you've got that emotion at the finish line, where there's a part of you, it's like, oh my God, that sucked. And then, you know, you want to recapture that feeling that you get, that elation that you feel at the end of some event, whether it's a sense of accomplishment or whatever. Like, so there's some desire, I think, to, you know, it's like a drug, right? Like we want to feel the way we feel at the end. And so, yeah, I didn't do another one right away because, frankly, the Louisville market, we don't have a lot of stuff coming here for whatever reason. So my next one wasn't until, I think I did Cincinnati later that year, like in September, I think, of 2016. I did a tough up in Cincinnati. And still not really, you know, I hadn't listened to any podcast. I hadn't, you know, been on the Facebook groups. I didn't really know what to expect. My only expectation was what I went through in Louisville. Like, okay, well, I guess I'll expect what I did there. And it was a different cadre and a whole different set of circumstances. And I had no idea how many stairs and hills that the city of Cincinnati contained. So that was a kind of an awakening experience for me.
So have you done triathlon since your Ironman, or were you one and done there?
No, I've done a number of Ironmans and a number of I've done full distance Ironmans, half distance Ironmans, and then non-Ironman branded races, sprints, Olympics, done some self-supported half and full distances. So yeah, I've dabbled with triathlon, but I don't know. I like endurance athletics. I learned that in my practice of law, I realized that by and large, people don't really change who they are. Kind of, you know, whatever your personality or your temperament is, that's kind of who you are, right? Like, even if you want to change some aspect of yourself, it's difficult. And I realized I'm kind of stubborn. And so rather than trying to change the stubborn streak, I decided to try to find something that rewards stubbornness, and that would be endurance athletics. And I think the GORUCK events, especially the toughs and the heavies, definitely would qualify as endurance athletics. So it seems well suited to my temperament.
I completely agree. And if there's any kind of event that rewards stubbornness, it's probably a GORUCK event.
Yeah. You know, the whole DFQ, like, I mean, okay.
Right.
Right there. You know, like, I'm not going to quit. Like, so let's do this. It's going to suck and I'm going to embrace it, but I'm not going to quit.
Absolutely. So your first events were kind of along the standard line of GORUCK events, the Toughs, which is part of, you know, the challenge series. Some people come in on Constellations or the survival stuff, but I mean, you kind of got funneled into GORUCK through the, I guess, the traditional way. And then you were here for the announcement of the Star Course. And so you've got a background in other kind of events. Were you excited when they announced the Star Course? What were your thoughts on that?
I was, because, like, honestly, like, when I did that GORUCK Tough in early 2016, like, again, it was my first ever GORUCK event. I didn't know a lot about the company. I didn't have a GORUCK bag. I was using like an old, I think it's called an Alice pack that I got from one of my friends who was in the Marine Corps or whatever. I was in the Air Force. We didn't do this kind of stuff. You know, my buddies call it the chair force. You know, so they're like, okay, like, you know, here, use this bag. I'm like, cool. So I got the bricks, taped them up, put a towel around it, you know, and I signed up for this event because I was training for something else. I was signed up for a 50-mile ultramarathon. I thought, well, this will be awesome training. I'm going to be on my feet all night long, carrying stuff around. Like, it was literally a training event for me. But, you know, I got kind of bit by the bug. I liked it. I'm like, I think I like this, you know. And I think the one that I did later that year in Cincinnati, I think I was at that point, I was training for like 100-mile ultramarathon. And so it was, again, it was a training event. You know, and then I, later after that, I did my first light. So I've always kind of done things backwards. I mean, I think a lot of people that get into GORUCK and other types of things, they start off at the small ones and, you know, progress forward. I've always kind of done it in opposite. You know, my first ever triathlon was a full distance Ironman. You know, most people are like, man, you're crazy. Like, you should probably do a shorter distance. Like, yeah, you know, I'm going to work my way down to it. So the Star Course, you know, obviously the first year, all they had was the 50s. And so I was pumped for it. I'm like, I can run 50 miles. I can run 100 miles, you know, so walking 50 miles shouldn't be a problem, you know, and it's a relaxed weight requirement. Like in your mind, you're like, it's only 20 pounds, you know, plus your water or whatever. So like that whole psyche of, you know, it's mental, right? It's like, it's 90% mental and the other 10%, it's mental too. And so like, sometimes I'll tell myself, and it sounds ridiculous even to myself when I think about it, like, well, it's only 50 miles. And like, that is crazy. But, so, you know, I had to be DC as the inaugural event. I think, I don't know, my recollection was there was over 900 people that came to that thing. I think, nearly 1,000 of us towed the line at the beginning, I believe.
Yeah. I remember seeing some of the pictures from that event. I mean, there were just so many people over there. I don't recall the numbers, but I do remember that there were a large percentage that didn't finish that event.
It was a very low completion rate. I don't know, the numbers are probably easily accessible, but something tells me it was like 900 and something started and maybe 200 or 300 people finished is what I recall. The weather was brutal, 5 or 6 inches of rain overnight. It wasn't fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That, just adds a whole nother level. I remember hearing stories about people just, you know, trying to avoid puddles along the riverway at the beginning and then.
Yeah, the CNO Canal.
Yeah.
Like the first, I don't know, 20 miles or something.
And then a couple miles in, you just kind of give up and just kind of slosh through it because the water was so deep.
You can only get so wet, right? Once you're soaked, you're soaked. Like you can't get any wetter. That's the kind of the mindset that we had.
It's a good mindset to have. And I think that's something that you need to finish one of those events. So you've done, like you said, 50-mile races. You've done 100-mile races. The Star Course is an interesting event, right? Because it's a 50-ish mile because you have to...
There's a lot of ish.
Yeah. Yeah. Our Star Course was just over 60 miles and we didn't even hit all the points. They ended up calling us all back early because the route planning on that was a little iffy. But yeah, we actually used an app to help with navigation to make sure that we went the most direct route, and it was giving us back like a 57 miles, I think, total. And then
I think we ended up with 57 point something as our finishing mileage in DC. It was close to 58 miles.
Yeah. So you were in the same boat, right? It's a 50-ish mile event. And so is that something that you like about the event? I mean, with traditional races, right? It's like, this is 50 miles and it's 50 miles.
No, like it's very demoralizing. I did a 100K race, the Pistol Ultra down in Tennessee a couple years back, and it was a looped course. And I think we were supposed to do, I don't know, 5 or 6 loops on this course. And, you know, everybody down there, pretty much anyone who's in endurance athletics, you know, has got a Garmin or something strapped to their wrist, you know, and they're keeping a close eye on the data. And so you're finishing up the first lap and you're looking at your watch and you're realizing like, well, something's off here. Like, you know, the mileage is not what it's supposed to be. And it wasn't like, you know, off by a tenth of a mile. It was off by like significant amount. And so, you know, you're comparing notes with other runners. I'll never forget, like there was a guy, like, you know, we were slogging along together and this guy had a Garmin on his left wrist and a Suunto on his right wrist, like, you know, like completely OCD. And he's like, yeah, man, this is off. Like, you know. And the 100K turned out to be 110K, you know, and some people would be like, well, what's the difference? You know, if you can run 100K, you can do 110K, you know, it's just 6 more miles. But in your mind, you're like, man, I didn't come down here prepared for that. I came here prepared to do 100 kilometers, not 110 kilometers. And, you know, at the end of the day, it all worked out fine. The race director handled it great. He altered the medals and like anyone can run 100K. You guys did 110 or whatever. But like same thing with GORUCK, you know, you come in there, you're thinking, okay, I've got 20 hours to knock out 50 miles. And you're thinking about what your pace needs to be and, you know, adjusting your goals accordingly. And then as you're getting along, you realize like, there's no way we're going to do this in 50 miles. And then the weather sucks. And you know, that every extra mile, you know, that extra 15 or 20 minutes, whatever it's taking you to knock out that mile, it's painful. real painful, you know, and misery loves company, I guess, you know, so you're out there on the course and, you know, you're seeing these fellow ruckers running around and there's like this one out and back section, I don't know, some point or something out there. We're like in the end of the second day of the event, some Saturday mid afternoon. And there's a lot of teams that are slugging out here and we're all kind of comparing it to like the Bataan Death March. you know, it's like the 6 mile out and back that we're all doing. And like, and there's a lot of teams that were just tapping out, because they were just, it was beat. They couldn't deal with it. Like, I think if it had been 50 miles, they might've finished. It wasn't that they couldn't, but like mentally they were just clocked out and they're just done.
Yeah. It's a tough one. I mean, when you're rucking, a lot of people, their fast ruck pace is 15 minute miles. So if you're tacking three miles, 4 miles onto it, that's an extra hour.
Right.
Especially on the back end, when you're going slower than you are at the front end.
Exactly.
So it's not nothing. So you finished up the DC Star course, and obviously you were kind of sold on the event because you signed up for Cincinnati. Were you planning after that event to do another one, or did it take a little bit of time to come around and say, yes, I want to do another Star course?
I can't remember when I signed up for it, to be honest with you. Like, DC, you know, it was the inaugural event. You know, I had a good friend that I'd met through Team RWB that lived in DC, you know, so I kind of got the two birds with one stone. I could go out and, you know, I could see her. And, you know, I hadn't been to DC probably since I was a kid. And like, and just, I just love the history of the place, you know, and it's a, I live in the Louisville, Kentucky area. So it was, you know, it was a good drive. And I talked to a buddy of mine here who had never done any Go Ruck event before, who's also in Team Red, White, and Blue with me. I talked him into going with me one night. You know, he had a couple of drinks. I think we were literally at a beer festival. We were at Tailspin Beer Festival, and we both had, we're at a beer festival. We had some drinks in us, right? And I started talking to him about the Star Course, and I don't think I'd even signed up yet, but I talked to him about it. He's like, I was like, what do you think? He's like, dude, that sounds awesome. I said, are you in? He's like, hell yeah, man. And like, I remember pinky swearing with the guy, Bill's his name. And he sticks his pinky out. And I was like, man, this is your last chance. You know, once we lock pinkies, like, you're in, right? He goes, man, I'm in. And we pinky swore, and like, we both signed up like either that day or the next. And I remember him calling me the next day. He's like, dude, what did I agree to? I said, you agreed to go to DC and ruck 50 some miles with me. And I remember him telling me the story, how he had to break it to his wife. And she's like, you did what? Like, what are you going to do? Like, oh my God, you're crazy. That was literally his first ever go ruck event, was a 50 miler. So it was pretty cool. And then we were a 2-man team, and you know, the rules then, they've been a little bit relaxed since then, but you know, at that time you sign up with two, you know, you got to finish with two. If one of us drops, the other one, you know, you don't get a patch either. So a lot of pressure on both of us.
Yeah. I'm glad they've relaxed things a little bit. In a way, it makes it a different event, I guess, because back then, I mean, you had to motivate each other, and you had a lot of riding on that. Cause if you quit, then you're both done.
And exactly.
And now if the slower person quits, then I mean, I guess the one person left just gets the haul and, finish it up quicker.
In some ways, I mean, I get it. Like, look, Go Ruck's a business. They're trying to make money. I appreciate that. More power to them. I want to see them make tons of money. I want to see Jason fill up his rucksacks with cash. But you know, kind of in some ways it feels like they've dumbed it down a little bit. You know, when you did DC and like, you know, the rules are pretty rigid and the time restraints were rigid and the course was long. And then, you know, I read the after action reports on some of the other courses and some of the things they do. I'm like, hold on now. Like, that's a different set of rules that we had to adhere to. Like, why'd it change? So, you know, again, I got mixed emotions.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they could add another category, like, I don't know, call it deadlock or something. And if anyone on your, you know, you register for that and you get a patch at the end that's got a different color star in the corner or something. And if anyone on your team quits, then like you're done. That's it. So I don't know, but I completely understand what you're saying because DC was incredibly strict. You're down to one person, then you're just done. Your team's done, disbanded. There was no adding time because of extra distance. It was what it was. And
right.
You all had to do it. And then I think it might have been San Francisco was the first event where they gave the people out there an extra hour because there was, I think, 8 more miles involved. And
right.
I mean, that's, yeah, just like you
said. And we dealt with the same thing, you mm-hmm. know? And so, and I remember like late in the event, we were probably, I don't know, we were 40 miles in or something. And, you know, you're coming across other teams pretty easy to spot, right? Like these, you know, there's 900 and some weirdos running around with rucksacks on their back. And like, you know, so you're comparing notes, you know, hey, have you been to this point yet? You've been to that point. And I remember a team telling us, we were stopped like changing socks or something. A team come to us and they said, did you hear? I'm like, did you hear what? Well, if you get to 50 miles, you've got 50 miles on your clock, on your GPS or whatever, you can go ahead and head to index, even if you haven't gotten all the points. And we're like, what? No, there's no way. It's like, yeah. That's what somebody told us. And my Bill and I were like talking about, cause we were clearly going to be over 50 miles. And we're like, man, like that sounds like it's too good to be true. And so we sent a text to, you know, the cadre or whatever, the response was pretty emphatically like, you know, what is wrong with you? Like, hell no. You're like, you better hit all the points or you're not getting shit. And we're like, okay. and, you know, so that stuck with me. And then I hear stories about, you know, like, I think they gave them an extra hour for the 50 in Atlanta is what I've been told. I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, I don't know that or not, but I know they gave us an extra hour. But our team kind of, you know, holds it as a point of pride that we finished the event. We got just over 60 miles in, and we did it in 19 hours, 45 minutes. So even though they gave us the extra hour, we still came in under 20. Yeah. Yeah. We were hauling at the end, and we were kind of, you know, talking between each other. It's like, well, we've got technically 75 minutes to get in. I guess it was probably like 90 minutes at the time. We're like, no, you know, we've got to do this. And that would just be a fun.
Well, it's not supposed to be easy, right? It's 50 mile. You know, and like I remember in D.C., like probably one of the most brutal parts of D.C. was that the finish line was on, I think, the fifth or sixth floor of the rooftop of a CrossFit gym. You know, so you get there and you see the gym. And you're like, oh, there's the gym. There's beer and pizza in there. And you walk in the door and you're looking around like, where the hell is the stuff? And they're like, oh, it's on the roof. And you're like, are you kidding me right now? Like, you know, and like there's an elevator, but like, you wouldn't dream of getting on the elevator, right? You got to take the stairs. And I remember my partner, he's like, dude, what are you doing? I'm like, we're not getting on the elevator. Are you kidding me? Like, we're taking the stairs, man. And we're running up the stairs. Like, don't even think about walking up the stairs. And you come out the stairs and you bust out onto the roof and there's the party and there's the scale to weigh your bag and the finish line and all that. And, you know, and there were teams as we're sitting up there, there were some teams that busted up onto the roof that, you know, after the 20-hour cutoff, sorry, you guys DNF'd. I felt horrible for those teams.
Yeah. I mean, that is tough. And I remember the entire event in Seattle, just checking my pace, checking the distance we've gone, comparing that to our app and to Google Maps, because, I mean, like we've both said, the event wasn't 50 miles for either of us.
Yeah. You know, have any of them been 50? I don't even know. Like, there's been a couple that were like close to 50, I think.
I think Chicago might have been 51 or so. Like they got pretty close on that one. But I mean, if you're setting this event, it's not a course, right? It's all these land points that you have to hit and do nav to get to. So if you're gonna set it up, you want to be over rather than under. Could you imagine if people finished at like 45 miles? So I guess if you're trying to set it up, then you're going for over instead of under. So that's, I guess it makes sense that a lot of them have been those.
Doesn't make sense to me. I think it should be 50. Like there should be a way to do it in 50. You know, I'm okay with people going over. But I agree. I don't think you should be able to complete it in 45. But you know, headquarters has got the same software apps and maps and everything that we're using. There should be a possibility to do it in 50. And I remember DC, like there was people there, the locals, the shortest distance I think I remember hearing was around 54. Those are guys that grew up there. So like, it wasn't possible to do it in 50 is my takeaway.
Yeah. You know, you're right. You're absolutely right.
These guys are special forces guys, right? Like, give us a 50 mile course.
We had the app, you know, it took us 15 minutes at the start. We kicked off 15 minutes after the start point or after the, you know, everything got going because we put every single point into this app. They gave us this nice map and it said your event's going to be 57 or miles or whatever. And it would have been just as easy to put all the points in there ahead of time and said, all right, we're doing 57. Like what happens if we axe this point in the top left? Oh, now we're down to 54. All right,
Yeah, what replace happens, it with this point.
Yeah, what happens if we bring this one in? All right, now we're down to 50. So you're right. You could definitely get it done. So HQ, if you're listening, get the apps in. Let's see that happen.
You know, the other thing, like I feel like there's a question that I didn't answer, but like, so when they released the 12s and the 26s, I know you talked about that maybe in your prefatory comments before we got going. I was a little bit disheartened, quite frankly. And, you know, so I talked to some other people too, like, you know, it felt like a watering down. And you know, like, hold on, I've been doing these 50s. Like, what do you mean you're putting a 12 in there? You know, so like, I'm looking at the chatter on the pages, like, well, can we sign up for all three distances? And they're like, no, you can't do that. Like, pick one. And so like, I was initially kind of like not real excited about it. But after having just completed Atlanta 12, I'm super thankful that they added those new distances, not because that's going to be my preference or go to the shorter distances. But as you know, from our conversations off the air, you know, I was able to complete this event with my mother, who's in her mid 70s, who wouldn't have done a 50, could have done a 50, by the way. My mom's kind of a badass. But and my sister, and probably most special to me, a little 3-year-old golden doodle, Lucy, was able to do a 12 miler with me. So yeah, that was super cool. I was really happy now that I've done it, and I've embraced the new distances at this point. And it was super cool to see a different crowd of people, having been at a couple of 50-mile start lines and looking around and seeing the types of people that toe the line for those, and then, you know, seeing the start line of a 12, different crowd, and hopefully some of those folks will graduate up, you know, progress up to some of the other distances.
Yeah, that's. I think that's the goal. It'd be really cool to see that. So you mentioned the people who made up your 12 team. Was it hard to sell them on the event, or was that a pretty easy sell?
No, my mom got into running. When I did Ironman in 2014, my mom and my sister both decided that they were going to start running. And like, they did some 5Ks, and then I'm like, Mom, you know, let's get you into something else. And so we did a half marathon together, and she won her age group and did real well, like, I don't know, like around 2-hour finish time, which is pretty respectable for 72, 73-year-old lady for a half marathon. And then I'm like, we need to do a full marathon. And my mom plays tennis. She's not a runner. She runs for fitness, but she's never, you know, she doesn't have a track background or anything like that. She's like, well, honey, like, you know, how far is a marathon? And I'm like, well, Mom, it's not that much farther than a half marathon, you know? And I'm just, and she's like, well, I don't know. And let me think about it. And so my mom loves a bargain, though. And so we get the email from the race, like, you know, hey, the Kentucky Derby Festival Marathon goes on sale next week. And if you sign up, you know, in the first 48 hours, here's a $10 off discount code or something. And I call her. I'm like, Mom, you know, there's a discount code. We got to take advantage of this. Well, honey, I don't know. I don't know. Let me think about it. And let me talk to, Chuck, my stepdad. And so she calls me back the next day. And she's like, well, he says he's okay with it. I guess, you know, go ahead and sign me up. And she's like, but only under one condition. And I was like, well, what is that? She said, do you think I can win my age group? So my mom's a little competitive. So I said, Mom, I'll promise you that I'll put you at the top of the podium. We'll get you there. And so she said, okay, if I'm going to win my age group, then go ahead and, you know, sign me up. And she did. She went on to win her age group, and it was a great day. And, you know, so she's done a marathon and did well at it. You know, she was under 5 hours. That's not bad for any age, really. But for somebody in their 70s, you know, she was kicking it. So I've been, as I got more into GORUCK, you know, done a lot more events since my first two in 2016, I started talking to her about that and, you know, talk about rucking, and she sees my Facebook posts rucking and so forth. And so she's asked questions. I've let her try on the sacks and stuff. And so my sister lives in Atlanta, and I'd gotten my sister and my brother-in-law interested in it. And my brother-in-law had done a GORUCK Lite, one of the ones down in Atlanta, one of the themed ones, I forget which one, the Battle of Fallujah or something. And so he was kind of getting into it. So it just seemed like the 12 miler was perfect. So I was able to convince my mom to do it. And, you know, she gets to go down and see, you know, her daughter and her grandchildren, and, you know, my sister signs up, and my brother-in-law and a buddy of mine who's from here was traveling down there. So we just, you know, we ended up putting together a little team and, you know, was able to include the dog. And it was just a great day. It truly was a great day.
That is so awesome. So my mom runs too, and she's run more marathons than I have. And I hope that someday I could get her out to a star course. This gives me hope, because that'd be a ton of fun.
It truly was. You know, in the 12 mile or like compared to the 50, like, you know, just really none of the pressure. You know, we're drinking beer and eating Girl Scout cookies along the way. It was a fun day. I didn't do anything. Like, nobody on my team had done a star course of any distance before except for me. And so, you know, we download the Road Warrior app, and I told them what all we needed to do, but I just stepped back and let them do it. You know, I got the waypoints and we got them put in the program, and I'm kind of overlooking things. And they're like, well, what next? I'm like, look, I'm just going to be in the back walking the dog. Okay. You guys are going to run this thing, and, you know, we're going to finish. I'm not going to let us not finish, but, you know, we're going to sink and swim on what you guys want to do. And so we only made one error. I think we ended up with like maybe an extra half mile, three quarters of a mile at the beginning. We started at some park, and like our first waypoint is on this little path, like literally a quarter mile away. And if you look back at our Strava data, like we did like this little mile loop somewhere. And I'm like, what the hell is this, guys? Like, my brother-in-law's like, well, this is our warm up. Like, okay. You know, so one navigational error because they didn't key something in right or something. But, you know, at the end of the day, it all worked out. We ended up under 13 miles. So I was pleased with that.
That's great. And it's always nice to have a sense of humor when you're out there at these events. Goes a long way.
Yeah, and especially on the 50s, you know, when you're 40 miles in, I kind of relate it to, I'm a boater, you know, and you go down to any local boat ramp and you watch on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon, a husband and wife trying to get a boat in the water, you know, it's like divorce city down there, you know, screaming and yelling at each other because they can't back the trailer in straight. And sometimes you see some of that late in these 50 milers, you know, a little bit of people are tired and, you know, a navigational error, like you talked about earlier. I mean, an extra mile costs you, you know, 20 or 30 minutes, depending on how slow you're walking by this point, you know, and so it's frustrating. And I remember Bill and I, like, we had some navigational issues. My phone got wet and died. And so, you know, we didn't really have it planned out that good. You know, two is one is none, right? Everything was on my phone. Nothing was on his. And he's got some little puny iPhone with a screen I can barely see, and we're like we're talking like a couple of old married people, like bickering at each other. But at the end of the day, you know, we hugged it out, we loved each other, and we finished. But, you know, it was touch and go there a couple of times. Like, what do you mean we're a mile out of the way? You know, like, what the hell did you take us over here for?
Yeah, and I grew up fishing with my dad, and I've been at a lot of boat launches, and that's
you know exactly what I mean. Then
exactly what you're talking about. And you're just sitting there, and it's tough, right? Because you're waiting. I mean, it's rough if you're waiting to put your boat in and they're having issues putting theirs in, because you're like, I just want to get out and fish. Like, what is going on here?
Exactly.
But when you're trying to get out, it's just, it's kind of funny at that point. Oh, so yeah. So the 12 miler, back on track, the 12 miler. So you signed up for it. You were, when you went into the event, at what point did you think, or did you start to change your mind on the 12s and the 26.2s being added? Because you mentioned at the beginning that, you know, you weren't sold. You saw it as a watering down, can I do all three of them type of deal. And so was it when you showed up to the event? Was it during the event? Just when did your thought process on?
No, it was before. Like, you know, after my mom agreed to do it and my sister agreed to do it, and then Lucy doesn't belong to me. She belongs to my best friend. And then I asked my best friend, Dawn, like, I said, can I take Lucy on a road trip to Atlanta to do a star course event? And like, she didn't even hesitate. She's like, yeah, that's fine. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay. And so it began to kind of come together mentally for me that, like, I can't look at this like I'm looking at, you know, an HTL or a 50 mile star course. Like, it's not a significant, a physical accomplishment in that sense, but like, how many opportunities is a guy going to get to go do something like this, you know, with, like, you know, in some ways, like, the creatures, I use that term because of the dog, the creatures that I'm like closest to in my life, you know, my mom, you know, my only sister, and this little dog, you know, these things, these people, these creatures that I'm close to, I get to go experience this bucket list lifetime memory. Like, you know, like I'm very blessed. And so like, I recognize that that wouldn't have happened, but for this 12-mile star course. No way I would have ever gotten my mom to go do a 50-miler somewhere. She's, you know, I don't even know that she'll do another marathon. She's been having some knee problems and whatnot. So like, she's not going to do a 50. My sister sure as hell is not going to do a 50, even though she might be able to. She's like, no, that's stupid. I'm not going to do that. But to do this 12 and to be able to have those memories, these lifetime memories, like I can't even put a price on it. Like, you know, so like several weeks out, I began to just to kind of bask in that. And it, you know, kind of got emotional for me, just like, you know, when we're getting ready to start, like just thinking like, this is really cool that I'm getting to do this, you know, with my mom.
That's a great way of looking at it. And I mean, what a way to make amazing memories with these people who are so important to you. And then you've got, because GARC requires it, you have all these pictures to remember the event from.
Right.
So that is so cool. And so Lucy joined you on this.
She did.
How old is Lucy?
Lucy is 3. She turns 4 on Easter Sunday.
Exciting. Happy almost birthday to her. So how did she fare through the 12 miler?
She did awesome. Unfortunately, GORUCK does not make a DR1, a dog ruck. Because if they did, she would most definitely have one. So we got her a little rucksack from Roughwear. She wore that at the start. It had a couple of had a beer in each side, wrapped in a GORUCK koozie. But she didn't have to carry that very far before Jeremy and I decided we probably ought to drink these beers. she had some treats and I think maybe a poop bag is all she was really tasked with carrying. There's no minimum weight requirement for Lucy, although I figured, you know, couple of 12-ounce beers, you know, if we do the math, like she probably was actually carrying more weight than she probably should have been required to carry. She only weighs about 34 pounds, I think. At some point, it got hot that day. It was like in the mid-70s, and she's a golden doodle, so she got lots of fur. So I carried her. I took her pack off of her. I don't know. We were probably 5 or 6 miles in, and she seemed like she was getting pretty hot. So I took the pack off, and she didn't carry it the rest of the day. But she could have. But she did real good. She took in plenty of water, plenty of snacks, and she finished strong. She was excited. Cadre Diaz patched her, and that was pretty cool to see him. I got a nice picture of him handing her patch. She took it from him with her mouth and pranced around with it. She was pretty proud. I feel like she knew what she was doing.
That's amazing. I'd truly appreciate if you'd send those pictures over. I would love to see that.
They're on my Facebook.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, they're uploaded on Facebook and on Instagram as well.
I'll grab those. Check them out. That is awesome. So, I mean, this was a 12-mile star course. And so there are people who train for bigger events. You know, they go out on 12-milers and ruck that. And if they wanted to bring their dog along to ruck a 12 with them, do you have any tips or advice that you learned from this event that you could bestow on them?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's no different than the human training. I mean, you got to make sure you wouldn't want to take your dog out there if your dog's not up to it. Lucy did the Taji 100 in February. She rucked 100 miles. So, you know, she had 100 miles on her feet, you know, the previous month. So, and she trail runs with me. She rucks with me frequently. She's had a couple of 25-mile weekends. So I knew she was up to it. The only thing I was worried about was if it got too hot, because she's got a lot of fur. You know, and the reality is, if I had to carry her, I've carried heavier coupons than that. You know, she's 35 pounds. You know, I've had logs on my shoulder heavier than that. So, like, I feel like we're both finishing. There's no way we're going to tap out. Lucy wasn't going to take an Uber back to the finish or anything. She didn't bring any quitter's cash. So, you know, don't subject your dog to something like that if you don't know for sure your dog can do it. You know, so it's like, you know, you wouldn't take your kid out there if your kid couldn't do it, right? So the dog's no different, because the dog's not going to be able to tell you. that, hey, man, I'm done.
Right. And they're so resilient to pain. I mean, you're not even going to probably see the impact of it until the day later when they can't get up.
Right. And she was fine. You know, we went running the next morning.
And yeah, you're totally right. I mean, you probably can't pay for an Uber and dog treats. You probably wouldn't accept that. So you finished up the 12 miler. And the way I recall GORUCK setting these events up, I haven't done one of the star courses since they've added in the 12 and the 26.2. But the idea was that the index time for all the events would be roughly around the same time. So when you finished, did you see people coming in from the 26.2 and the 50?
That's exactly right. So the start times were staggered, and I think we all had the exact same cutoff time, as I recall. I think we started at, my recollection is we started at noon, and our cutoff time was 5, and so the 50s started at 9 p.m., cutoff time at 5. I don't know what time the 26 is, probably at 9 or something, cutoff time at 5. So yeah, so actually, one of my teammates from my Cincinnati team, who's been a previous guest on your show, Emily, was there with Claudia and a couple other people, and they were in the midst of their 50 miler, and so we finished before them, and like so I was lingering around waiting for them to finish, and they ended up coming across the finish line, you know, sometime after we did. So yeah, it was cool. Like I think the idea would be that all these teams are kind of come rumbling in at the same time. And I don't know how exactly that worked out, but certainly while we were there, we saw other 12 mile team finishes, all their 26 mile team finishes, and we saw the 50 ish mile team finishes. And it's interesting because standing there and you could see the teams approaching, you can tell which category they're in as they're walking up, right? Like just by the looks on their faces. So yeah, I was fortunate enough to be there as her team finished. So that was cool.
That's got to be a fun game, right? Sitting there at the finish, just guessing which distance it is they come in. Like, oh, those people look pretty ragged.
It's not a hard game to win at. It's kind of like when you're walking into a casino and you're seeing the people coming out. You can tell who won, who lost, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that's, I mean, so was that Emily's third? Congratulations to Emily, if you're listening.
I think that was her third 50 miler. I don't think she's done another one since Cincinnati. She'll correct me if I'm wrong on that though.
Yeah. I remember talking to her on the podcast and she had completed 2 last year and she had a whole slew she was signed up for this year. So it's really cool to see people signing up in different cities. I had a ton of fun doing Seattle, but when I was in Seattle, I just kept thinking, you know, this would be really cool to do in a city that I didn't know, because what better way to learn the ins and outs of a city than ruck 50 miles in it?
For sure. And you're probably going to go in areas that you might not otherwise walk through.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how the courses were for your 12 or for Cincy. I kind of know DC, but out in Seattle, when we mapped it out, I was like, this is really cool. We're going spots that I've never rucked before, that I rarely drive, and you still got to see some pretty cool stuff. Did you notice right. That at your events?
I did. We went through a couple dicey areas. let's just put it that way.
Yeah, sometimes the most direct route isn't the safest route.
Right. You know, and you're rolling through like an inner city, like with a bunch of backpacks on, you know, obviously lots of folks are like, what are you guys doing? You know, and some of them are saying it out loud to you, and some of them are just giving you that, what are you doing, look.
Yeah. We kind of planned ours out so that we went through the nicer areas at night and then went through the sketchier areas during the day. Play it a little safer if possible. But I guess that's probably not really the case if you've got, well, for DC, you had that out and back at the beginning that everyone did. And then, you know, for the 12 miler in Atlanta, I mean, that's only 12 miles and you're doing the whole thing during the day. So I guess that's right. Just advice for the 50.
Yeah, it was interesting too, like doing the 12 and running into teams on course doing the 50. You know, sometimes you'd be hitting the same waypoint at the same time, you know, and again, you could always kind of tell, like, you know, they're kind of ragged looking, like, how you guys doing? Like, oh, we got 4 more waypoints. Like, oh man, you know, try to keep them pumped up. Like, you got this, stay strong. So that was kind of neat. I was hoping I'd run to Emily's team on course, but we didn't. So I don't know. I didn't really look at their map to see what order they did it in, but we had obviously some of the same waypoints.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, good on GORUCK for setting it up that way. It's gotta be a lot of fun running into teams and motivating them. every now and then when there's a star course going on in another city and I'm bored and not out rucking that Friday night, I'll just swipe through Instagram, just leaving, you know, positive comments on people's check-ins that take star course, because
right,
you know, you've been there, I've been there. I mean, it can get rough mentally when you're 30, 40 plus miles into the event, and every now and then just one person saying, dude, you got this, just finish it up, like that's all you need.
Right, for sure.
So you've done 250s, you've completed the 12. Do you have plans for any future Star Course events?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I feel like if nothing else, I've got to do a 26 just so I can, you know, have the complete collection of patches, right? I got to have one for each distance. So they're coming back to Cincinnati and they're coming to Indianapolis. I feel like I signed up for one or both of those. I swear to you, I don't even remember sometimes. Like I'll sign up and I'll get an email a week before, like, you know, telling me the start point. I'm like, oh shit, I forgot I signed up for that. You know, it maybe didn't make its way to my calendar, but I think I've got, between now and the end of the year, I'm currently signed up for 20 additional GoRuck events. And some of those are, you know, multi-events, same weekend, like I'm doing a couple of HTLs, a couple of several TLs. But yeah, I'll probably end up doing either the Indy or the Cincinnati Star Course, or both. You know, GoRuck hits us with these buy one, get one free sales and whatnot. And like, I'm the same as everybody else. Like, oh, it's on sale? Like, I got to get this, right? Like, so yeah, I got a little stupid signing up for stuff.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for that. Like anything that's on sale, throw something in for free. It's like, oh, what's going on here?
Right. And like you said earlier, like about going to a city you haven't been to, like I think like doing a star course like in New York City or something, like that would be like super awesome. Just to see the city different. I would have loved to have went to Normandy, you know, but I couldn't fit that in my schedule. You know, so there's lots of events that I want to do, but just logistics and timing just don't allow me to do.
Yeah. And for those of you who are listening and paying attention, you can always message GoRuck and they can send you a list of events you're signed up for, because I've done that in the past and the list they've sent me back, I've apparently registered for the same event twice. That's happened before. And so you can get them to change.
I did not know this was a thing. Yeah. I'm learning something.
Yeah. So they did a sale. I think it was 50% off events. And I signed up for Prohibition, which is coming in December of 2019. And then they most recently had that sale-ish thing where the 12 days of Ruckmas,
yeah.
Or Christmas. And then I, of course, bought stuff through that and got the free event codes. And I was like, what do I sign up for? I was like, oh, Prohibition. That sounds like a ton of fun. So I signed up for it. And then I most recently emailed GoRuck and said, hey, can you send me a list of events I'm registered for? And I saw Prohibition on there twice. It's like, oh, can you turn one of those into a credit, please? Because apparently I have a terrible brain.
I love how accommodating they are for requests like that.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I know there are people who complain about the return policy on events and stuff like that, but I come from a background of races. You come from a background of races. How many events do you know of that you can register for and then up to 1 week before the event say something like, I don't want to do this or I can't do this. I'm just going to get this into a 100% credit for a different event of my choice.
Yeah, virtually none. Ironman instituted a policy where you can buy some sort of event insurance, you know, but they hit you for an extra fee. I don't know, $75 or something. But if you don't have that insurance, forget about it. Like, they don't care what kind of problem you're having. That's not our problem.
Yeah, that's in your boat. Like, you know, you figure you out. You already paid us the money. We're done on this end. We're putting on the event. So,
well, I've even signed up for events where like the event, for whatever reason, has been canceled. Like maybe a weather calamity of some kind, and they don't even refund you your money. And I can't even imagine. First of all, I don't know that GoRuck would ever cancel an event because of like weather. Like, I mean, I've seen some brutal weather conditions that they certainly just march forward. But imagine if they did. Like, there's no way they would keep people's money, right? Like,
yeah. Every time they've canceled an event, they've always changed into credits, and sometimes they've even done double credits. But that was back in 2015. We were supposed to have an event in Seattle, and for whatever reason, they couldn't put it on. So they
They have had a cancellation. So yeah, I would have predicted that they had never had one.
It was so that was back, I want to say maybe that was even 2013, 2014, but it was, they had a cadre issue, it's like staffing issue basically. They didn't have enough cadre on, and they had to, if I recall correctly, cut one city for a weekend. And I mean, now you look at the list of GORC cadre and it's like a mile and a half long. They don't have that problem anymore, but right. we all got event credits, and I think we got an additional event credit on top of that as a "we're sorry this had to happen" thing, which is, I mean, I've had events canceled just like you said for races, and they sure never refunded me. And if they had refunded me, they sure never gave me a free event on top of the refund.
No. If you're lucky, you might get the shirt. Here's the event shirt, because we already had them printed, like, and you know, they're no good to us. Like,
yeah.
But by the way, you have to come pick it up. We're not going to mail it to you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing the things that, the hoops that GORC goes through for the community in that respect. And I think a lot of people take it for granted, at least people who aren't, you know, don't have at least one foot in the more traditional race community.
I've really begun to love the company. I've bought a number of their bags and just like can't sing their praises enough. You know, I'm involved in we've created a GORC club here in Louisville. I'm the GORC leader, for whatever that's worth. And so like I belong to a GORC leader group, you know, and the whole Ruck Club call outs that they were doing last year, and now the monthly challenges, just watching things evolve, and just like the customer service and kind of the focus on the customer that Jason and crew is demonstrating, I mean, I think is reaping rewards for him, and it will continue to do so. You know, some friends and I were talking like these patches, you know, like, okay, I don't know what they're paying for these patches, but they're buying them, you know, cheaper than you and I could go buy a patch for, right? 50 cents a piece, a quarter. I don't have any idea. But like last year, the monthly Ruck Club callouts, it was, you know, the first 100 people to do it, get a patch or whatever. But now they've changed that to, hey, if you do it, you get a patch. Costs a little bit more money, you know, and they're mailing all these things out, and logistics, it's some kind of problem. They're paying someone to do this stuff. But like, what's that bringing back to the company though, right? Like, we're slapping the stuff on our bags, we're running around, we're being ambassadors for GORC. You know, you don't think McDonald's or Starbucks or somebody would give you a patch if you're going to go around and sing their praises and wear their stuff? Of course they would, right? So Jason's got it figured out, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you really don't hear of many companies doing something like that. That monthly challenges, you do the challenge, you get the patch for free shipped to you. I mean, that's unheard of.
No. And I hope everybody appreciates it. I know that I do.
I do too. So for all of you who work at GORC HQ who are listening to this, because I know there's at least a handful of you that do, thank you so much for what you do. And we both appreciate it. So Star Course for next year, you said you're signed up for a couple events. I'm not sure if you saw this recently or not in the Tough group, but there was a team that did the 50 in a fast time and then did the 12 and finished the 12 before the cutoff time. So they ended up with both patches.
I did see that.
Is that something that you would be interested in doing?
I would love to do that. I would like to run the 50. Bill and I probably ran 20 of our miles. You know, and when I say run, you know, it's not the same kind of run you'd be doing at a 5K. But we had a respectable pace. We were top three for a while in DC. And I don't remember our finish time. I think it was around 15 hours. But yeah, I mean, it would be cool to go down there or to go to some event, and be able to finish first, second, like by literally running the 50. You know, you got to find somebody that wants to do it with you though.
That's the tough part, right?
Yeah, there's not a lot of people that really say, okay, so hold on, you want to strap 30 pounds on or 20 pounds or whatever, and you want to run 50? Yeah, no, I'm out. So yeah, would I like to do it? I would like to do it. Will I do it? I don't know. I guess that remains to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have to show up with the right team for it, and everyone's got to be in the right mindset, because you got to get that 50 done quick so you can get the next distance in.
Well, you know, double distance is, I've done that before, like at the Pistol, they have an event and they call it the double barrel. And you do, like the 50K starts at, I don't know, 8 a.m. And then at 8 p.m. Is the 50 miler. So, you know, there's plenty of time, you know, but you got a little bit of downtime in between. You have as much downtime as depending on how fast you did the 50K in. But it's a different mindset to complete one event and then start another event. Now, in the way the GORUCK format works, like, there really wouldn't be that, right? Because as soon as you finish, you would literally immediately start. You know, you wouldn't have to wait, you know, for the next start time. But, you know, I don't know how they do that because, like, I think we had 7 waypoints in Atlanta. I don't know how many waypoints the 26 had or how many waypoints the 50 had, but clearly some of the waypoints were the same. So how do you police that? So if I've got waypoints 1 through 7 on the 12 mile and on the 26 mile, I've got, you know, 10 waypoints, but 5 of them are the same, you know, how do you ensure that I actually went to that thing twice?
Yeah, you didn't just hit a bar and repost the picture every 45 minutes.
You know, or take it from a different angle or whatever. I'm not suggesting any of the teams did that, by the way, but like, how would you ensure that didn't happen?
Yeah, that's a good question. It does add a little logistical issue.
Well, and the reality is, you know, if you're following the hashtags and you're watching the 50 milers, like, you know, so it's 9 o'clock at night, they start. You know, I'm back at my sister's house, you know, carb loading, right? And I'm watching teams upload. So, like, I'll say, oh, they uploaded a picture at, you know, Martin Luther King's church, hashtag such and such. Okay, that's probably going to be one of our points tomorrow. You know, there's nothing to stop someone from getting in your car and driving out there and taking a picture, right? Same thing in D.C. You know you're going to be in front of the Lincoln Memorial. You know you're going to be in front of the Washington Monument. Like, you know, there's a certain ones you can just count on. You know, so again, I'm not suggesting that any of that has happened, but, you know, with every sport, there seems to be people that cheat, right? I follow a guy, marathoninvestigations.com. This guy's always busting people that are cutting the courses at marathons.
I mean, you hear about it all the time. I mean, maybe not all the time, but there's so many races every single weekend. And then, you know, people get caught every weekend. So there's a lot more people involved, but you hear about it pretty frequently, people cheating at events. And so I guess my only hope would be that GORUCK would be looking at the pictures. And if someone's uploading for the 12, and it's a picture of the Lincoln Memorial and it's pitch black out, they're like, you know, this event didn't even happen at night. So where's that picture from?
I want to think it's not happening, but.
But I mean, once you're, you know, in the, traditional in quotes, race series, and you kind of follow those kind of news, I mean, you see it happen. You see people taking taxis. I mean, just a month ago, there was someone, some Instagram model or something, who raced a half marathon, and she finished in 2 hours. And that doesn't seem like, you know, too big of an issue for finishing a half marathon in 2 hours. But her splits, I think her last 5 miles were faster than each mile broke the world record for the.
Yeah, no, I remember reading about that. I think I read that on that Marathon Investigations website.
Yeah.
And like in DC, like, okay, I'll give you an example. So we did DC, there was a waypoint, I don't know, it was like mile marker 0 of this canal or something. And we had a little bit of trouble finding it. And when we came across it, in my mind, somewhat suspiciously, there was about, I don't know, a dozen of those little bird scooter things, like, that were abandoned, like, right next to this mile marker. You couldn't help but wonder, like, were these ruckers that jumped on these things and rode them there? You know, I want to hope that didn't happen, but like, they were in such a weird place. Like, how else would they have ended up right there?
Yeah, and someone's gonna have to come and drag those out of there. At the 50 miler in Seattle, one of our points was a lighthouse, and it was out, I mean, lighthouse right by the water. It's down by the beach. It was about 2 miles of trail. I want to say 1.5 miles maybe of trail to get down there. And we get down there, and there were two of those motorized bikes just like dumped right next to the lighthouse. And I just felt so bad for whatever guy works for that company, and he's going to have to walk down this trail, grab these bikes, and walk them back up because someone rode them down and just ditched them on a beach.
Right.
That's rough. That would be cool to do the 50 and then try and get another distance in after it. Like you said, you would have to really plan it out in advance, but after seeing one team do it, I wonder if we're going to start seeing more teams attempting that, because it's, I mean, it's all about doing something hard, right?
Right. You know, and maybe, you know, like baby steps, you know, you do the 26 followed by the 12, you're still doing less miles than you would do if you did the 50, you know, maybe that's more feasible. Grab both those patches.
I didn't even think about that. That's an incredible plan if you're thinking about doing something like that.
Let's make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah, 26 followed by the 12. I mean, you get to experience doing the two events, figure out, you know, how it works, and then tack on the 50.
And it's all daylight, right? Because you start in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. And then at that point, I mean, you'll be able to get your three patches that you wanted at the beginning if you can do the 50,
right.
26, and then the 12. It's like win-win-win.
That's the way I see it. I'm going to have to try to find someone to do this with me.
Yeah, that's the hard part, is trying to find someone that crazy that they'll hear that and say, yes, this is how I want to not only spend my weekend, but this is how I want to spend the next couple months training up. So is there anything in particular that you do to train for these events? Any tips that you have for people who might be looking at the 12, the 26, or the 50, and maybe they don't know where to start, or they just, you know, want advice from someone who's been there before?
I'm like so unorthodox. You know, I've got friends that are in triathlon community that are super OCD, and they have coaches and training plans and whatnot. That's totally not me. I'm like team wing it. You know, one thing I think is lots of miles on your feet. So January 1 of 2018, I started a run streak, and I've done a minimum of 1 mile, either running or rugging, every day since January 1 of 18. And I've tried to do, and I have done a minimum of 100 miles per month. So like I've got miles on my legs. You know, if you're going to do a 50, then you for sure need, you know, one or two overnights. We set up an event here in Louisville. This is the second year we've done it. We called it the playing on the horse racing industry. We got the triple crown. We called it the triple frown. And we set it up as a 50K, and we broke it up into a 10, a 10, and an 11, as I recall. And we did the 10 miles, like, I don't know, 8 a.m. And then like maybe a small lunch break, and then hit another 10 miles. And then like about a 4 hour break. And, you know, so you had time to go home, take a shower, take a nap, whatever. And then come back and do the last 11 miles. So, you know, it kind of maybe good training for an HTL, right? Like you got to have some time on and time off and jump right back, dive back into it. You know, so stuff like that, you know, that's the beauty of the internet. Like we all know what to expect. There's no secrets or surprises out there. You know, some cadre like do things a little different, but by and large, you know what you're getting into. So simulate the race conditions. You know, if it's raining and you don't feel like the weather sucks, I don't want to go out and train today. Well, what guarantee do you have what the weather's going to be on the event day? None. You know, so you better take your ass out there in the rain and the cold and the snow and the sleet and all that, because you don't know what you're going to get on that day that you signed up for months in advance. So, I mean, that's something that I've been real good about. Like, you know, I take my training seriously, like just do it. You know, you got to put the time in.
Phenomenal advice. And I'm also a somewhat proud member of Team Wing It. When I did my half Ironman, I didn't download any plans or anything, you know, no coaches, none of that stuff. I was like, all right, hopping in a pool, I'm swimming, I'm riding my bike a bunch, and I'm going to do some running. And those are the three things you do there. I think I'll be set.
Did you ever find yourself, like, because I found myself, like, you know, you got friends, obviously, they're training for the same race, and you'll take a peek at their Strava or something, like, oh, you know, what did Elise do today? Oh, she rode 12 miles and ran 2, like, did a brick, like, okay, I'll just do that. Like, cause she has a coach, like surely to God, that's a pretty good plan, right?
Yeah.
Like, so I'd find myself doing things like that too, which is like, you know, it works so far. It's worked.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll do that all the time. I'll look through on Strava, figure out what people are doing. I've got a Garmin watch, and my sister and my mom do as well. And we have weekly challenges where we see who can do the most miles every week. And so I'll peek in on them because they both run before I do in the mornings. I'm like, oh, what'd they do? So, all right, I guess I just have to do more than this today.
Right. Yeah, that's the advantage of being a late night person. I've found myself doing that too. I've been a steps challenge or a mile challenge with someone, and they'll upload their miles. Like, oh, they did they did 5 miles today. Like, well, they're done. Like, they're home with their family or whatever. Well, I don't have a family, so I'll go out and bust out and do like an extra mile. And like, then I'll upload mine. And they're like, damn it! Like,
yeah,
like I'm not going to bed if I'm not ahead.
Right. I got a text at 10:45 a couple of nights ago at night for my mom, and she's like, were you just out running? Because I pushed her out of first place. She had grabbed first place that morning with like a 4 mile run. I was like, I can do that. Did it
right,
you know, at night. And yeah, she was thinking she was going to bed in first place, went to bed in second place.
Woke up in second place.
Yeah, definitely. I grabbed that. But yeah, stuff like that's fun to, you know, just add a little bit of fun to the run.
I mean, we're all wired differently, right? So you got to find what works for you. You know, some people say, you know, trust your body, or, you know, follow a plan. Some people need a plan. So it's whatever works for you. Okay, what works for me doesn't necessarily work for you. Like, you know, like people are like, oh, well, what's the hot shoe setup? Well, I don't know. Like, what kind of feet do you have? Like, you know, the shoes that I love, you might hate them. You know, the socks that I love might not work for you. You know, the way I have my pack set up may not be your thing, but I do believe in something I learned a long time ago: nothing new on race day. So stick with the tried and true. You don't want to bust out with, you know, a brand new pair of shoes or something on an event day. Like, not a good idea, especially a long event.
Yeah, if you're unpackaging shoes or insoles on race day, something is wrong.
Right.
The shoes I used at my Star course had over, I think, 1,100 miles on them. At that point, they're, you know, probably a little too beat, but I mean, I knew the shoes, and the shoes knew me, and I knew that they would be able to handle it. So
yeah, you got one more event in them, right?
Yep. And then I got them, and I don't know if I'm going to throw them away or not. I haven't thrown them away yet. It's been what, like 6-7 months since that event, but.
Oh, those are grass cutting shoes now at this point.
I know. They got a lot of memories in them. They've got a lot more grass cutting to do in the future. So I think we've talked a ton on Star Course 50, the 12. I mean, just awesome things about the 12 and the possibly the 26 that we didn't even, you know, think would happen when those events came out. And advice. Is there anything else related to these events that you want to talk about?
You know, we talked briefly off there about the Indianapolis HTL that I did in the service project. I think you had a previous guest on there about that. And I was a little bit dismayed to learn, apparently they're kind of eliminating or reducing the importance of the service component of the heavies and the HTLs. Like, that was kind of disheartening in a sense, because the project that we did, and there's information out there, people can YouTube it and read about it, that we cleaned up some long stretch of the river up there. And just to see the impact we had on that community, that felt good. And Shredder and DS, you know, put a lot of time before the event into getting that set up and planned. And, you know, the team, like, you know, like the Lumberjacks, you know, like it felt real good. And so I hope that doesn't really go away. I'd like to see more of that. It doesn't feel good to me to take my $20 quitter's cash and throw it in an envelope and it gets sent off to someone. Like, you know, I donate plenty of money to charities. Like, you know, that doesn't feel as good as doing something for somebody. We did stuff up there that wouldn't have otherwise been done. And you know, that felt good. And I'd like to see GoRook embrace that, not step back from it.
Yeah, I agree. One of the things that first came to mind when they announced that the service components were no longer required. And you might find this interesting or not, but people are no longer allowed to ask for quitter's cash at the end of events. So that's being removed as well.
And I'm okay with that. Like, you know, I can afford $20 and probably lots of other folks can, but there's some people out there that you basically just raise the price of the event by $20. That may or may not keep them from doing the event.
Yep. And if GoRook put on the website, $20 quitter's cash. If you don't spend this, it will be donated. That would be one thing. But showing up, thinking that you're leaving with your 20 and then kind of being, you know, everyone's throwing theirs in the bucket. So you might as well, you should too.
Yeah, I mean, you might get shamed into it or whatever. Maybe you needed that to get gas in your car to get home. I don't know.
Yeah.
$20 isn't the same for all people. It just isn't.
Exactly. Exactly. And so one of the things that I would like to see GoArc do, we'll see if they do it or not, is that they've got nearly 2 years of service projects under their belt. Like, they know things that work, things that don't work as well. Clearly, the IndieHTL is a great example of things that work. I'd like to see them set up like a like service light, service tough, service heavy events with the whole idea of doing something huge and awesome for a community like that. Because then the people who sign up for it, you know, everyone who signs up it knows exactly what they're going to be getting themselves into, an incredible right. experience where you're doing, you know, something amazing for a community.
Right. I mean, so we're carrying a log around Indianapolis for, you know, umpteen hours. And it sucks. And like, we all paid money to do it. Okay. Like, we're there. So rather than carry that one log around, I mean, is there some reason like we couldn't go to some place where a tornado had hit and we're just carrying like a bunch of different logs, you know, and like, sure. Like, how can you plan an event around a tornado or a hurricane? Like, I guess you can't, but like, you know, there's opportunities like that. Right.
You just have to look for them.
Yeah, somebody, I can't remember who was telling me, maybe I heard it on your show. They were talking about there was some building that had collapsed, you know, behind like American Legion or something, and they needed this debris field moved from point A to point B so the city would like come scoop it up. But they wouldn't take it from where it was, but if it was out by the road, they would. And so like, as a part of the service component for some GoRuck event, they did. They went over there and they're like, okay, all these bricks and trusses and everything needs to go from there to there. I mean, perfect. Yeah. Let's move it, right? You know, and it happened. And it otherwise probably wouldn't have happened. Certainly not for free.
Absolutely.
But, you know, like, it's hard to, I guess in some ways it's hard to find that. Because here, you know, we've got, there's a tough light coming to Louisville in June that I'm signed up for. And so I've already started asking around, like, friends and family, like, you know, hey, does anyone know of some sort of service component, you know? And I give a couple examples, like, you know, we got a bunch of guys, 20, 30 guys, and I guess ladies that are willing to, like, you know, move heavy things. Like, you know, anybody have any idea of what we could do? You know, whether it be, you know, you don't always just want to be picking up garbage, but, you know, is there something out there, you know, that some nonprofit organization needs some manpower with, but, you know, they're having trouble finding it. And so far I haven't had anybody say, oh my God, I got the perfect thing for you, but I'm looking.
That's great. And I hope a lot more people out there, you know, look for opportunities like that, just like what you're doing. Because, I mean, even just something like a windstorm comes through, knocks over a tree in someone's yard or something like that. I mean, you can go, like, you guys, what was your team weight for that? Was it axes?
Yeah, it was like, I don't know, like 50, 60, 70 pounds of like axes and saws.
Yeah. I mean, so you can do something similar. Go cut up a tree, carry, like you said. What's the difference between carrying one log for 4 hours versus carrying a bunch of logs, different ones for 4 hours? And I guess
right.
the only difference is that carrying a bunch of logs is possibly harder because then you can't, you know, find the groove in the log because,
yeah,
you know, you find when you're out there, you find your perfect section. You're like, oh, like 3 feet off the back, there's this knot. And if you're just right
yeah,
in front of that,
spot,
yeah, it's
yeah.
like, oh, everything's perfect. I can carry it forever there. So the issue with the multiple logs is that you find your sweet spot and then you have to dump it somewhere and relearn on the next one.
There's a part of me that's like, just carrying a log to be carrying a log is like, you know, like, we're just screwing with you. That's one thing versus like, we're accomplishing something and like, you know, we can see our progress and we went from a debris field to no debris field. You know, sometimes mentally it's easier to lean into that.
Yeah, I can see that too. And it gives that sense of higher purpose, I guess.
Right, exactly.
You know, it sucks because you're doing a bunch of hard work at 2 a.m, but the end result is more than a patch and it's more than the experience that you had at the event. It's everything you're doing for the community that you're doing this at. So yeah, I guess long way circling back around. I hope that, they said, you know, the service component is no longer required, but it's highly encouraged. And I hope that, you know, people take that to heart and look for opportunities. And so I guess what would be really cool to see from that is people who are looking for those opportunities in the communities, that they still do that and they find stuff and they make amazing things happen. But then I'm guessing what we won't see as much of is, you know, people saying, all right, everyone throw your quarters cash in as a bucket because we had to do some service thing and no one planned anything and here we are and we don't want to do extra PT because the cadre's mad. So everyone just, yeah, throw your money in the bucket and let's go.
I know which one feels better to me.
Same here. Same here. Thank you so much again for taking all this time to go through the events and just talk about, I mean, GoRock, the stuff you like about it, everything. I've had a ton of fun, you know, talking to you on this Friday, and I really, really do appreciate you taking this time out of your day to chat with me, Richard.
Yeah, you're most welcome. I had a great time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to the All Day Rock Off podcast. This has been episode 97 with Richard Rush. We talked about the GoRock StarCourse 50, the 12, and a bunch of other stuff related to GoRock and endurance events. I really hope you enjoyed this episode. I had a ton of fun talking with him, and I'm curious, honestly, to see if more people start tackling the 50 and then coming back for the 12. Or doing that 26.2 than the 12, or, you know, whatever combination people want to do out there. Now that someone's done it and we know it's possible, we'll see how many people go out there and try and get that. If you're curious about anything we talked about during this episode, you can always hit up the show notes, alldayruckoff.com/podcast/episode-097. If you've left a rating or review, those are truly appreciated. And if you haven't yet, you can always head on over to iTunes or to Facebook. Just search for All Day Rock Off. We show up right at the top. So thank you so much. And they're awesome to get. I hope you've had a great week so far. I hope that the April Rucking Challenge is going well for you if you're taking part in that. And we're well into StarCourse season. We're getting into the heavy event season. So I hope training's going good for you. And I hope you're planning out the rest of your 2019 events. As always, thank you so much for all of the support. And don't forget, attitude is everything. Keep yours positive and drink hard, rock harder.